Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Tuesday. First, with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Monday. We've got some national policy to talk about today, like their drug policy, for example. How to get that summer body, what do they call it, a bikini body, beach body. But first up, other national policy, gangs. Paula Benefit says they don't have any human rights, these guys.
You stand by the comment? Where are we with this? That some people have fewer human rights than others?
Yeah, I just sort of said fewer rights and not human rights as such. I mean, everyone's got equal human rights. We are human, you know, that's just where it's at. We've just got some that have got fewer legal rights, and that's who we're pointing to. I suppose I have a rather innate dislike of the gangs and the harm they do, and I think in that sort of context, I certainly used the wrong choice of word.
Right, so you misspoke, you got it wrong.
Yeah, I did. I mean, it's not fewer human rights. It's definitely, though, different legal rights, and that's what these firearm prohibition orders are about.
How do you decide someone is a gang member, who isn't? What if you've got connections to gangs?
Yeah, so there's a criteria that goes through, and it's there's a gang intelligence centre. It's a register now that's got about just over 5,000 gang members on it. There's quite a history to it. It has to stack up. Privacy Commission has kind of been through it as well. They now share that information. So it is about them being patched, and as I say, it's quite robust.
Well, how's this new law, how would it work? Police would have new powers?
Yes, they would. So these are quite unique powers as well. So these are only for the worst offenders. They have to have had a firearms offence and a serious violent offence behind them. It would then go, the commissioner has to sign off every single individual one. That means that then the police have the power to go and search, seize, and look for illegal firearms kind of at any point of these people.
Look, I know where you're coming from on this, but doesn't that erode human rights in some shape or form?
Certainly erode some of their legal rights, but this is, it's been done in Australia.
Yeah, forgive me for feeling a little bit uncomfortable about looking to Australia for guidance when it comes to treating people well with regards to human rights. Anyway, Rachel Smalley, she's into human rights. She's been all over the world checking them out. What does she have to say about this?
She feels it's justified because it will only apply to the most serious criminals, those who have already convicted a serious violent offence or been convicted of a firearms charge. Too bad, says Bennett. We're going in. Now, the human rights issue is a thorny one. Our Human Rights Commissioner, David Rutherford, last night tweeted, "All human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. What we fought for in World War II to preserve," he says, "and what New Zealand declared in 1948. And he's right. But there will be few who will argue with Bennett. If you've inflicted serious harm on another, or you've illegally used or been in possession of a firearm, then most will say you should face a far greater level of scrutiny, than Joe Public. To that end, National knows it's on solid ground with this one." The Human Rights Commissioner said all human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights, but of course people will argue, well, that's true, but what about the human rights and dignity of others who've been the victims of these people?
Wow, okay. So, I mean, Rachel's a human rights campaigner, basically, and she seems to be saying it's okay to squash... I mean, are we trying to reform these people or not? When they've been punished and served their time, we're just going to write them off and not treat them as the rest of society. I'm sure that'll be helpful. Anyway, she also went on to say that perhaps the actual gang part of the equation is not really the problem, it's the drugs, which is something else that National's trying to tackle.
When you take this step... It's the inch-by-inch, step-by-step business, and you don't know where it's going. Every time you advance something, it's the next step to the next step. It's that simple. And Paula Bennett really shocked me with this particular approach. Now, I know that plenty of you are screaming at your radio and at me at the moment and calling me all sorts of things because you hate gangs, so do I, as it happens. That's not the point. The point is that when you override the law, when you override what we truly believe in this country, or used to anyway, then you're setting the stage. Look, National does this. and it becomes established. They've set a precedent. Who's next? You know the old quote, you know, if you've got nothing to hide, you've got nothing to fear? And my answer to that has always been, you're not the one that sets the rules for what you've got to fear. You follow me? You're not the one that sets the rules of what you've got to fear. How do you know that something you think is perfectly legitimate and okay is not somebody else's crime? And you put them in a position of power where they can where they can override the rules, which is what Paula Bennett's attempting to do, where they can override the rules because they don't like you or they don't like what you think or what you're doing, then your legitimacy suddenly evaporates.
So Rachel Smalley seems to be taking a more conservative right-wing stand than Leighton Smith. I don't know what's happening. This has been the craziest election ever. Surely Mark and Kerry will agree on this, right? Right?
A drug customer comes into the door of some dealer's place and they've got the whole banquet there, not just cannabis, and they might only be interested in cannabis, and then they get offered P-E-L-E-D.
The problem with that, though, is the what is the gateway drug?
Well, I don't think there is such a thing. Because,
well, no, there is.
What do you think the gateway drug is?
Alcohol.
Well, you
people are like, oh, cannabis, that's how you end up. No, it's not. Yeah. It's actually alcohol. Alcohol is how you end up walking down the drug track.
Really?
Of course it does.
No.
Yes.
I know plenty of people who drink and never take drugs, have never even tried it.
Well, alcohol is a drug. And
of course it is a drug. But it doesn't. I don't think it's a gateway drug unless you're
interested. Do you know any single person that has somehow skipped alcohol and gone to cannabis, skipped alcohol and gone to meth? Nah.
I know plenty of people who've skipped alcohol and gone to other drugs, though.
Never, ever drunk?
Well, not habitually. Not
alcohol is the gateway drug. It's not cannabis,
only
it's alcohol.
Only because it's legal.
No, but it's still a gateway drug.
But there are loads of people who drink and never have used drugs in their lives.
Probably the first.
Still, it doesn't stop it being the gateway drug,
but if it was a gateway, you'd walk through it.
That's just another drug. That's the in to not being... not living a sober life, because up until alcohol, what do you do to escape reality? The first escape to not being sober is alcohol. That's the gateway into not being completely in control of yourself.
A gateway drug is generally believed to be the conduit drug that takes you to the next one.
Yeah, alcohol takes you to cannabis. Alcohol takes you to ecstasy.
Plenty of people have never touched another one.
Yeah, plenty of people.
So it's hardly a gateway if you stop at the door.
But plenty of people smoke cannabis and don't end up taking meth.
Of course they do, yeah. I'm not arguing. I'm just saying that there are plenty of people who drink who've never touched another drug in their lives. So it's hardly a gateway. And there are plenty of people who do cannabis and would never touch alcohol or strong stuff. They don't. Anyway,
hey,
sorry.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
you go. Mum and Dad arguing again.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Wow, so this is the issue that divides opinion even on the same show. Far out. We're going to finish up with Marcus. I'm not sure if he was arguing with anybody, disagreeing with anybody, but he's trying to get fit this summer. Is that what he's trying to do?
What happened to Zumba? I just enjoyed saying it, actually. I thought it was a fantastic thing, but clearly... it was one of those things that people enjoyed, but I don't think it ever got anyone very fit. Because if you followed people going into the hall at Zumba 3 months later, they looked pretty much the same. And I don't know what's replaced it. Is it CrossFit? Got no idea. Or what do you think is probably the future of keeping fit? Or is everyone just counting steps with those watches they have? Personally, I've never liked the idea of counting steps. I've never liked a Fitbit because I'm someone that likes to know how far I've walked. Not how many steps, because that's meaningless to me. I like to know how many kilometres I've gone. Then I like to go into the app and see, in fact, how high I've climbed and what have been my 1 kilometre splits. Makes me feel good.
I'm quite excited about the latest device Fitbit have announced, the Ioniq, because you'll be able to pay wave with it. So you'll be able to go for a jog and then get the bread, milk, and paper at the end of it without taking your wallet. You'll still have to carry the bread, milk, and paper back to the house. I haven't quite worked out that part, but anyway. I am Glenn ZB. That has been News Talk ZB for Tuesday. I'll see if I can get everybody to agree a bit more tomorrow, because that was a bit unpleasant today.